We are grateful indeed to be here. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get ready to get into it on tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for yet another chance to come into your presence and how you are ministering to us and healing us even right now. Every time we get a chance to come into your house, it's an honor because we know how unworthy we are of even being able to come before you. But despite all that, for whatever reason, God, we can say this morning by morning, new mercies we see. Great is your faithfulness. We bless your name on tonight for your teaching and for your preaching. We bless your name for the spirit of worship that lies even now in this place. And we pray that during this time together, you might minister to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We love you more than anything. God, we lift up members of the congregation who are here and afar. And for God, we call out names of persons who you've brought through this place. We think, for whatever reason, God, we think about Trustee Tamiko, wherever she is now. God, continue to put your hand on her life and touch her and minister to her. God, encourage her, even in the midst of whatever she might be going through, even now. God, we thank you for words of knowledge when they come. And we pray now that you would just speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful, God, to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Tell somebody it's good to be here. Tell somebody before you take your seat, don't just sit down. Tell them for real, like hug them or something. Look at them like you care about them. Amen. Thank you. We're excited about, how many people are excited about the word? That was lame. How many people excited about the word, man? Y'all are really good. I wanted to bring a couple of things for you. Please continue to keep certain families in prayer. Brother Benjamin, we're going to celebrate his life on Friday of this week. Member of the church and of the choir. And we will be Sister Willie Mae, his wife. We were with her even on yesterday. And so we are grateful for an opportunity to honor him. Again, member of the church, member of the choir and all those things. So we'll be here on Friday at 11. Please keep that family in prayer. Please also keep in prayer the family of Minister Tamika. Her aunt is not doing well, and so we want to keep her lifted up, amen, and keep her family in prayer during this time. Please keep in prayer Deacon Lily, who lost a nephew to a police officer, amen, only 15 years old. And so we are just praying for she and her family. She's going to be traveling in a couple of days to go down to Texas where that happened. And so we will be praying for her and lifting her up. But God is able. Amen. That's why we bring it to the church, so we can keep it in prayer. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not so you can be discouraged and down, but so we can know that God is God able? Yes. That's right. So I wanted to mention those things. Let me also share something else with you. This was kind of hitting my spirit. I probably will bring it to the congregation on Sunday as well. Higher ground, man, is really important. What happens on Wednesday nights is that God has an opportunity to teach us and to impart in us in a way that's different than what happens on Sunday morning. And it's important that you come. It's important that the church is here. It's important that the leaders are here. It's important that you're here. And we really want to continue to keep that message out to everybody. Secondarily, I wanted to share this by the Spirit. And sound is great, by the way. Thank you. I wanted to share this with you by the Spirit. Your consistency is one of the greatest factors that's going to determine how high you go in God. Now, I can't make you believe that. I can just tell you that many people start out fast and strong. But this race is not given to the swift. Lord, have mercy. This race is given to the one who endures. And I wanted to drop that in your spirit. I'm going to try to, by the Spirit, drop it to the church on Sunday morning. You've got to stay consistent in your walk. You've got to stay consistent in your study. You've got to give God more than a few months or a few years when you've spent a lifetime jacking it up. Preach, preach, preach. Well, I've been going to Bible study and I've been coming to church for weeks. Well, how long you been living like you were living? How long have you been thinking like you've been thinking? And here's the thing about the Spirit on tonight. You know, we've been talking and studying this thing about healing, and God has been teaching us and preaching us. Hasn't been good. You've been being blessed by it. One of the things God talked to us about in this series, and we're going to even hit it for a second on tonight, is something called trauma. You remember trauma? Trauma occurs when there's something sudden that happens to you that you're not prepared for. See, sometimes you want God to move fast, but you can't handle God moving fast because it will produce more trauma in your life. Good God. And so sometimes the reason that God is taking it slow and moving you little bit by little bit is so he can get you to where you need to be with you being able to handle it and not creating whiplash in your life and jacking your neck spiritually all up. So you need to give God the time that's necessary to work on you. And that's important by the Spirit on tonight, because that requires consistency. You know, when you mess around, fall in love with your boo. Watch this. You get mad if they not consistent with their phone calls. You expect consistency. You expect it. You do. You get mad. You ain't calling me today. You ain't text me. Why does that mess with you? Because you believe that if you're serious about the relationship, I'm trying to preach to somebody. You believe that if you're serious about this relationship, you're going to be consistent. And I came to tell you, I believe God is the same way. I believe that by the Spirit, God knows when you're serious about your relationship with him because you're consistent. And I've learned that people, black people, white people, red people, yellow people, brown people, Chinese people, Asian people, Indian people, African people can do what they want to do and find time to do it. Mess around. You want to figure out, find time for a smoke break in the middle of your busy day? You can find time to step outside and smoke. You want to find time to cuss somebody out? You can make time for it. You can schedule it. Make an appointment with yourself and nobody needs to remind you. You know they get off at this time, I get off at this time, and they will be cussed out promptly. Because you can schedule it. And so by the Spirit on tonight, I just wanted to drop into your spirit that it's really important that you exercise the same level of consistency in your walk with God. It's one of the greatest factors of determination, I'm telling you. I'm telling you by the Spirit. The race is not going to be given to the swift. It's going to be the one who endures. And so we'll continue to push higher ground. We won't make people come. Amen. Can't do that, but we can continue to say it's important, particularly for those of us who are in leadership, that you're here and that you're growing in God, that you're seeking, not because pastor is telling you, but because you want to grow in God. Because if you're teaching others, you ought to be being taught. Amen. That's myself included. And part of the way that we communicate that is by coming. And as a church body, I continue to say this, even at the risk of getting myself in trouble, you should be aware of who's here and who's not here. You should look at who shows up when it's time to run their mouth, but who does not show up when it's time to pray. You should. You should look at who shows up when it's time to complain, but who does not show up when it's time to work. You should look. And you should not be blind to it. Because one of the qualities of a leader is that they're where they're supposed to be without being told. It's called accountability. So with all that as the prologue, let's get into the word on tonight. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We're excited about how you've been healing us and how you continue to heal us, how you're healing us already. Now speak to us as you bring this message continually on desire and our desire to be healed. Help us through it to go higher in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody shout out, I want it. That's everything God's got, we want. Amen. We have been talking for some time now about healing. Let me make sure that we're centered here. About healing and about how healing can occur on many different levels. We've talked about healing occurring emotionally. And what's amazing and great about this series, you can catch up. It's all on the podcast. Amen. All of the episodes are on the podcast. So you can go and you can look and you can find your area that you feel as though you need the most work in. And God will help you with that area through that teaching. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. So we thank God for those persons who have done that. He's not here on tonight, but even while we were in transition, Brother Al was so faithful and many others were doing the same thing. Spiritual healing. And thanks for AV who picked up the slack. Mental, psychological healing, Sister Chris and others. Physical healing, which is what we're talking about tonight. Relational healing. We talked about the fact that healing oftentimes needs to occur as a result of some form of what? That's right. And so we're moving swiftly here because we've been through this and we're learning these things now. Trauma is a body wound or a shock produced by a sudden. I'm moving in this direction and all of a sudden, jerk, relationship is over. Did you see that? That was sudden and traumatic. I'm moving in this direction and all of a sudden, I lose my job. Do you see that? I'm moving in this direction. All of a sudden, my knee gives out and I fall and I break my hip. Right. Part of what makes it traumatic is that it's so sudden that I didn't have an opportunity to prepare for it. That's good. And if I had had an opportunity to prepare for it, it wouldn't have impacted me and affected me like it has even right now. But because it caught me off guard and it was so sudden, it was traumatic for me. Amen. Traumatic news. News that comes your way, news can be traumatic. Isn't that something? Information. You're not the one that loses your job. You're not the one that gets hit. You're not the one that gets fired. But you hear about something that happened to your child unexpectedly, boom, and it was traumatic. Right? Because you didn't see that coming. And whenever trauma has occurred in our lives, in any way, shape, or form, healing also needs to occur. Everybody in here under the sound of my voice has experienced some type of traumatic injury in one or more parts of your life. I guarantee it. Because life is traumatic. God does not tell you everything that's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Sometimes God will give you a heads up that you're coming into this type of a season, or you're coming into a transitional season or a difficult season, or you're coming into a season of blessing, a season of loss, a season of rape. But he doesn't give you every little detail. And so life is traumatic. And so when trauma occurs, healing needs to occur as well. Amen. We've learned that trauma is any event that causes some form of injury to occur that I cannot address myself. So if you need to be healed by God or someone else because you can't deal with what you're experiencing yourself, God has allowed us to understand that healing, that injury is oftentimes traumatic. Amen? Amen. We learning? Good. To heal, this is what God can do, and we've learned about this. To heal can mean to make healthy or to make whole, to make sound, to restore to health, to free from ailment, to bring to an end or to a conclusion, like with conflicts between people or groups. This can be between couples. You know, that's part of the way that God can bring healing in your life. Y'all just don't argue anymore. God can help you to reconcile. You know, that's a form of healing. Hey. When he moves in your relationships in such a way that you're together and on one accord. Sometimes we need God to create healing relationally in that way. We've talked about that during the series, but that's one of the things that he can do. He can get rid of the discord. It's not to say that you always agree, that you never argue, that you never disagree with one another, but God can get rid of the discord so that you can walk together in unity and in true and in real love. That's important, particularly for parents, by the Spirit on today. Even watch this. Even if you're no longer with the father or the mother of your child. Yeah, that's good. That's good. He can do it with your spouse, but sometimes you're not even with that individual. But it's important that, if possible, healing occurs and forgiveness occurs for the sake of the children that you have. Come on. It will be better for them if y'all can get along. It's not good for that child to have to watch y'all argue if it's not necessary. It's not good for that child to have to watch their mother take their father to court. It's not good. Oftentimes it deteriorates and it goes to that place. I recognize that. But what would be optimal is if God brings healing and we can at least reconcile. We ain't got to be together. We ain't got to live together. We ain't got to stay together. But we can be cordial enough to raise these kids. So God can allow healing to occur. And what we've been talking about on tonight, what we'll continue to talk about, is the fact that you have to be willing to allow that healing to occur. See, preach now, God. Because oftentimes God wants to heal an area of your life or deal with you about something that's out of order, but you don't want him to. Because in order for God to heal the relationship, he has to put you back into contact with the person. And you don't even want to see them again. You don't want to hit them again. You don't want to feel them again. You don't want to touch them again. You don't want to know anything about it. But in order for the healing to occur, God may have to do some of that. Hey, you might have to be willing to talk to them. You might have to be willing to overlook their faults. You might have to be willing to bear one another's burdens. You might have to be willing to forgive. So oftentimes our holdup with the healing that God wants to take place in our lives is simply because we don't want to have to endure the process, good God, that God requires in order to bring that healing in an area of our lives. Preach, Pastor, you're preaching. And so we would rather stay broken. Now, I need just for 1 second to make sure that this is still the honest church that I've come to love. Can anybody acknowledge the fact that there's some places in your life that you sometimes would rather stay broken than have to endure what's necessary for the healing to occur? Most of us got some places like that. I would rather, it's easier for me just to not talk to them than for me to try to figure out how to work through this stuff. It's easier for me just to keep the lifestyle I have than to really get serious about losing weight and exercise. It's easier for me to just keep the same diet than to adjust my diet and eat something I don't really like right now and be healthier. It's easy. So part of the problem oftentimes is not God, it's you. God, why haven't you healed me yet? Because you won't let me. Because you don't want to do what's necessary. You want, and we talked about this last time, and this is important to hit, as we're gonna catch a good through it, but what you want is a supernatural version, which is possible, and God can do it. Yes, and he oftentimes does. He moves supernaturally in our lives even now. I believe it. I believe in supernatural healing. I believe in supernatural mending of relationships. I believe in supernatural freedom from addiction, but I also believe that God will have you walk your hindpots, not down the aisle on Sunday morning, but to their house, ring the doorbell, pick up the phone and say, I'm sorry. And oftentimes you and I prefer the supernatural version because we don't have to do anything. God does everything. Let me come down, get your spray bottle of oil out, sprinkle me and lather me up. If I need to fall out, roll around, I will. Because when I get up and go back to my seat, I don't want to have to struggle anymore. I don't want to have to cry anymore. I don't want to have to go through it anymore. I really don't want to have to trust God. What I'd like is for him to do it all for me. But God oftentimes does not work that way. God oftentimes requires us to go through a process in order that he can heal. Amen. 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 Thanks for enduring that portion. I could tell that you loved it so much. To become whole is another aspect of the definition that we believe God for. How many people want to be made whole? What that means is I want to be operating at optimal level in every area of my life. Now, let me tell you something about being whole. You know, you can get to a place in your life where you're comfortable with being out of balance if you're not careful. And here's how you know being whole is important and it's necessary. How many have learned in your life that you can have enough money to pay your bills and still not be able to sleep at night? But because you whole financially, but you're not whole in another area. Lord, help me in here. How many people have learned that you can have all the money you need, but not be able to stop arguing and stop fighting? Yes, absolutely, because you're whole not in every area of your life yet. How many people know your relationship can be intact, but if something is wrong in an area of your body, you still cannot sleep? Now, you got money. No, your relationships are good, but because of cancer or something in your body, you still don't have the peace that you want, because you don't just want to be healed in one area. What you really need for pervasive peace to come is to be whole. Never overlook that. Never overlook the fact that there might be one area where I'm strong, but others where I'm weak. And can I tell you, that's important by the Spirit being whole. Won't belabor it, we'll get hit it and quit it. But it's important for this reason. What you tend to do is overcompensate for your weakness in an area of your strength. We all do this in our physical bodies. If you have one arm that is stronger than the other, you'll use that arm more subconsciously. If you injure one leg, the doctors will tell you you have to strengthen that leg, because if not, you'll mess the other one up because you'll be using it more to overcompensate. The same thing is true in your life and in your lifestyle. If there's an area where you're strong, but an area where you're weak, and you don't allow God to come in and strengthen the weak area, you can overcompensate in the strong area, and you can tire yourself out or injure yourself in that area because you won't allow God to address the weakness. So what I need is to be whole. Everybody say, I need to be whole. Say it like you believe it. I need to be whole. Tell your neighbor, you need to be whole. That's right. Look at them crazy like they don't want. No, you need to be whole. Good. And so on tonight, having talked about all these areas, we're going to talk about physical healing. Amen? Physical healing. As we go into the scripture, let's pray one more time. Speak, Father. Your servants are listening. We pray even now that you will continue to anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you weren't here, was a mighty move of God, by the way. And God started to talk to us about the fact that healing can occur oftentimes in process, and that healing is oftentimes connected directly to your desire. To the fact that you have to want to be healed. Good. You have to want to get better. Things that you typically really want in life, you're willing to go do. For example, I tend to be a very healthy eater. My wife and I are pretty health conscious. We eat lots of vegetables. We don't eat meat very much at often. But every now and then, ice cream talks to me and tells me things that are beyond human words. And sometimes ice cream literally calls me from the store while I am already in the bed. Supernatural. I'm telling you, ice cream has some supernatural properties. And what I will do is I will get out of my bed. It just so happens to be the fact that God loves us so much that he put a Wawa 5 minutes away from our home. So even when Giant is closed, Wawa is available and accessible to me. And so at any time in the night, if I want it bad enough, I'll get up out of the bed. Sometimes confession is good for the soul. I'll sneak out of the bed. So next morning, my wife will wake up and she'll be like, "It's a carton next to you. What was that?" I'm willing to go get it because I want it. most of us will go get what we want. These are the things that have to happen. You have to want it bad enough. I want you to get these down. This is important. You have to want it bad enough. And let me tell you what else you got to do. You got to believe it's possible for you to get it. Preach. 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 Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You got to want it bad enough. Good God Almighty. And you got to believe you can go get it. I've been so broke in my life that ice cream was not possible at midnight. So even though I wanted it, I knew I couldn't go get it. Because to spend money on ice cream when I need to save this last $10 for this is not. But because of the blessings of the Lord, when ice cream calls me now, I know that I can go get it. Healing, you have to want it. Do you see that? And you have to believe that you can go get it. Preach. If you don't believe that you can go get it, you'll stay where you are and you won't put forth the effort even though you want it. Preach. 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 You'll want it, but you won't go get it because you won't believe that it's possible for you to attain. And so here are these lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is what the Bible says. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Everybody say, want it? Believe I can get it. That's the equation. Let me just say one more time. I've got to want it. I've got to believe I can go get it. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, you've got to want it. And you've got to believe you can go get it. Come on. One more time. You got to want it. And you got to believe you can go get it. If you believe even that is a word from the Lord, celebrate him and give God some praise in here on tonight. These lepers, despite being trapped in what they understood during that time period in an impossible situation, they wanted to be healed and they believed that they could go get it from Jesus. So the Bible says on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had what? An incurable disease met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. They got healed as they went. They got healed as they went. They wanted to be healed. They believed that they could get it from Jesus. And so they were willing to follow the instructions and do what God told him to do. They did not simply want it. They were willing to go get it. And so they were willing to do what was necessary. See, at some point, your desire has to translate into your action. Preach. Preach. It can't just stay in the place of something that I want. It can't just stay in the place of something that I desire. Come on, somebody, on tonight. At some point, my desire has got to become action. If it does not translate into action, I really don't want it, or I don't believe I can go get it. Preach, preach, preach. And so you've got to be honest with yourself on tonight. If you say to yourself, I want to lose weight, okay, here's the process. You've got to want it, and you've got to be willing to go get it. You got to do what's necessary. You've got to walk. You got to exercise. You got to change your diet. If you are not doing those things, you really don't want to lose the weight. If you want to be healthier and you want to change your diet, okay, you've got to want it and you've got to actualize it. You've got to carry it out. You've got to buy different things. You've got to learn some different recipes. You've got to learn that chicken can actually be baked. You've got to learn that everything doesn't have to be fried. You've got to learn that you don't have to eat pork with every meal. You're going to have to learn that you don't have to smoke cigarettes. You're going to have to learn that you don't have to drink. At some point, you're going to have to go from the place of saying, I desire it, to being willing to actually carry it out. It has to be actualized. You can't just say, I want this. Because the truth is, you don't. If you want it and you believe that you can go get it, you'll go get it. You've got to be honest and say, you know what? I really don't want it bad enough yet. And when you really want it, you'll be willing to do whatever is necessary. And that's what they were willing to do. Why is that pointed out in the scripture? Because it's profound that these 10 lepers who are barred from having any contact with the society in which they live are told by Jesus, I don't just want you to go to people, I want you to go to the priest. Now that is an absolute no-no at this time. You can't be around clean people. You definitely unclean are not allowed to go to the priest. But when you want it bad enough, and when you believe that Jesus has the power to give it to you, you'll be willing to do whatever is necessary to go get it. You will do what's necessary. Somebody needs to write it down. When I really want to quit, when I really want to do it, when I really want to be healed, I'll do whatever is necessary. When I really want to, if I'm not willing to do whatever is necessary, I don't want it bad enough yet. But when I really, 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 really want to, you'll do it. You'll check into rehab. You'll go to counseling. You'll talk to somebody. You'll consult a nutritionist. You'll start buying different food. You'll not just get a gym membership. You'll set foot in the gym of which you've been a member. And here's why this preaching, I refuse to back off of it by the Spirit. Here's why this preaching has to come like this. You've got to be honest and reconcile within yourself the fact that you are more comfortable than you, where you are oftentimes than you desire to be healed. Oftentimes we're comfortable. We'd rather stay broken in an area than actually endure what's necessary to get fixed. Because being fixed takes effort. You got to do stuff. Oh, God. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You may not like it all the time. You may cry. You may struggle. You may feel awkward. When you first start going to the gym, everybody may look at you. Imagine how these 10 lepers felt. If it was one brother, maybe he could cover himself up and hide and get through the street and go over to see the priest. But you see 10, they skin falling off of them. You're going to attract some attention. Why were they willing to do it? Because they wanted to be healed and they were willing to do what's necessary. You got to be the same way. You want to get smarter in the Lord. You want to learn more about God. You got to be willing to do. Wasn't that? You got to open up your Bible. You got to read your word. You got to figure out how to understand the word more, just like you would figure out how to understand how to roll a blunt. You got to figure out how to do those things. Yeah, amen. Why do you use those examples? Because I recognize that many of the people in the room have smoked weed before. And I also recognize that many of the people in the room did not come out of the womb knowing how to smoke bud, which means that you learned. You will learn how to do what you want to do.
Lord have mercy.
And I'm going to stay with it. And I recognize people going to email me and complain. And I'm going to stay with it. Because you will learn everything you need to know about that thing you really wanted to do. Somebody, you buying your weed. Somebody tell you, oh, this is how much it is. No, that ain't no dime. That's a nickel. You give me no money. You will find out what you need to. it's important that to let the word hit you where you really are. I recognize you in church, you got to be super saved and don't want anybody to know that you're human too. But recognize the fact that you were willing to learn what you wanted to learn to get what you wanted. Now, the same thing is true for God. You can learn more about the word of God. Come on, man. You are not stupid. You are smart. You are gifted. You are black. You have a mind. You are anointed. And if you try, God will meet you as you go.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. You got to want it, though. And you got to be willing to go. Come on, somebody. You got to be willing to go get it.
You want it, bud? You will be willing to go get it.
At the risk of getting caught. See, do you see the analogy is perfect? Can I tell you by the Spirit, this is going to mess you up. But these 10 lepers are closer to somebody who's trying to purchase an illegal substance at the time, because what Jesus is telling them to do is actually illegal in the law according to the Jewish law at the time. They're putting themselves at risk, and you know what it means to put yourself at risk. You were putting yourself at risk when you bought your weed. You were putting yourself at risk when you were in the street. Come on, somebody. But now that you're in Christ, you don't want to put yourself at risk and ask a question of somebody and let them know you don't know everything. You don't want to put yourself at risk and go sign up for Rice and have to start from the beginning. You don't want to put yourself at risk and have to open. You can risk it all for some bud with a bunch of seeds in it. But now that you're in Christ, you don't want to take the risk. But oftentimes, if you want to get what God has for you, come on, man. Man. The risk is necessary for the reward. And so these 10 lepers are willing to do something that is illegal at the time. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal. What I'm telling you is they were willing to put themselves at risk. Do you see that? So that they could get what they wanted from God. And they got healed as they went. You got to want to be healed. You got to want to be healed. I've got to want to be healed. And here's what you got to do. You got to talk to yourself. Please get this down. Look. This is for the honest. How many people, good God Almighty, how many people want to go higher in here on today? Let me just tell you something. Can I preach to you for a second? I want you to get it down. Then I want you to come up because I want to preach to you real quick. I want you to open up your spirit, open up your mouth, open up your soul and receive this thing. Every now and then you've got to preach to yourself. Now you can't preach to the fake you, super saved you, the you that walks around with a smile on your face, the you that lets everybody know the perpetrating you, the mask wearing you, the super saved, Holy Ghost filled, don't never struggle with anything. Don't ever cry. Don't have any insecurities. You can't preach to that you. You've got to preach to the honest you. And you know you unlike anybody else. If you know that you know that you know that you still struggle with loneliness, you got to preach to yourself. If you know that you know that you know that every now and then you still want to smoke and drink, you got to preach to yourself. If you know that you know that you know that you've got trouble in your marriage and you're embarrassed because of it, you got to preach to yourself. If you know that you need to change your lifestyle because your living habits are out of whack, you got to preach to yourself, not the fake you, not the super saved you, not the I pretend that I'm all spirit filled you, but the you that struggles and the you that's lonely and the you that cries sometimes. You've got to preach to yourself and push yourself in the right direction. If I write about it on Wednesday night, somebody say, yeah. Here's why you got to preach to yourself. Because you've got to be honest about the fact that right now you don't want it yet. Do you see that? See, and here's what happens when you preach to yourself. Oh, God. faith begins to come. Lord have mercy. Because faith comes by hearing. Oh God. Can I tell you that every now and then, if you careful, if you had a little camera up in our house, sometimes you would think I was crazy. You know why? Because you would spy on me in a room or spy on me in the shower. And it's not that you would see me nude. It's that you would see me talking to myself with nobody else around me. Can I tell you that I preach to myself? Oh, God, help me in here. Can I tell you that when I recognize that there's something that I need to talk to God about, I don't just talk about it in my mind. I let that thing come out of my mouth because I heard that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I need to hear some things every now and then. You need to hear our marriage can be better. You need to hear I can get healed in my body. You need to hear my mind still needs to be renewed. You need to hear I can stop smoking. You need to hear I can stop drinking. You need to hear. And if a preacher ain't available to you, and if a deacon ain't available to you, and if an elder ain't available to you, I dare you lay hands on yourself, ordain yourself, and preach to yourself. You won't do that until you want it, though. And you won't do that if you're lying to yourself and pretending that you want it when you know you don't. That's great preaching. Come on. See, some of us, we're single and we say we want to be married, but we really are not willing to fully commit to a godly lifestyle so he can bring the person that he really wants. Preach, man. Oh, you've got to want it. And if you don't want it, I'm telling you, you got to preach to yourself. My body is for the Lord and the Lord is for my body. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a man or a woman just for me. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else that I need, the man is going to be at it. The woman is going to be at it. I'm trying to show you how to preach to yourself. The child is going to be at it. The job is going to be at it. The gifting is going to be at it because. If you don't want it yet, you need to preach to yourself. Until faith comes, because faith will push you out of complacency. Faith will push you out. Faith will get you up. Faith will change your life, but faith comes by hearing. And oftentimes you got to preach to your, amen. Make sure you got it down. I got to preach to myself. That's right. Preach to myself. You know, we're studying, I think we're going to be in another psalm on this coming Sunday. How many people were here on Sunday? Man, God was preaching to us from the 23rd Psalm. And let me tell you something by the Spirit. The reason that that's important is because when you read the Psalms, I was just meditating on this today, getting ready for Sunday. But when you read the Psalms of David, you're reading what David is preaching to himself. Do you see that? That you draw strength from. David understood, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I can't just be doing this thing without encouraging myself. And if ain't nobody else around me, what's interesting about that is, Sister Tanya, many scholars believe that David may have written that psalm at the time period in which the throne was taken by his son Absalom. Now, if you know that story, what happened was Absalom was David's son who rebelled against him because he didn't have a good relationship with his father. That's another sermon for another time. But what happened was Absalom tried to take the throne from him, and so David had to literally flee for his life. And while David was living away, fleeing for his life, his men and his army went back to fight to try to take the kingdom back for him, but they left him behind. So imagine he is by himself. He doesn't know what's happening with his son. He's not on the battlefield like he normally is. And nobody else who would normally preach to him is there. So guess what David does? I'm going to preach to the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can imagine him being sleepless thinking about his baby boy. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, he leads me beside still waters. I can imagine the emotional upheaval that a parent would have gone through at that time. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley, because he was out of place. He didn't have anybody to protect him. And Absalom, his son, was trying to take his life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear. He was preaching to himself. You've got to preach to yourself. When you preach to yourself, what it will do is this. It will create something in you called desire. Woo! Yes, it will. Hey, God. And the word of God says, if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. Now, oftentimes what we believe is that means that whatever it is that I desire, God is going to give it to me. So the Corvette is going to come. Hallelujah. The house is going to come. Oh, glory. The man is going to come. Hallelujah. But what that scripture, I believe, really means is that when you really begin to take your delight and what delights you most, when your joy and your happiness truly comes from your relationship with God, what you desire in your heart is going to change because he's going to give you new desires. Oh, God. I wonder if there's anybody who will go ahead and testify with me right now and say that since you've come into Christ, you don't desire the same thing that you used to. God has given you some different desires. Watch this. You don't even know how you got from not desiring to where you are now. All you know is that you just don't want it no more. You don't want them anymore. Anybody know you? I don't want the drama. I don't want the drama no more. I don't want the headache no more. I don't want to have to deal with the nagging no more. It ain't worth it. I used to think it was. That's how I know God done changed me. But at the place that I'm at in my life now, I don't want it. And so I don't want you. My desires have changed. And so when I delight in him, he gives me the desires. He gives me the desires of my heart. And the reason he doesn't mind saying yes to that which I desire is because I'm no longer asking amiss. And now I'm asking for what he wants me to have. Because I used to be asking him for what I want, but now he's changed the desires so they line up with him. And so now everything is in place in my life and in my heart and in my mind to be able to receive not what I want, but what he wants from me. Ooh. So he can freely dispense at his will because the desires that I have are in line with his will for my life. Oh, God, help me in here. And before I get to the place where I truly delight in God, that can't happen. See, what I've learned is, many people have been in the church for years and they never got to the place where they truly delight in God more than anything else. I'm talking, and let me be specific. I'm talking about you delight more than anything else from being in his presence and spending time with him, talking to him, hearing from him, and experiencing him. That's what I'm talking about. Because see, no. Because see, some of us desire, we delight in doing ministry more than we delight in God. Oh, God, yeah, that's good. So, some of us delight in doing things for God more than we delight in God. But when you delight yourself in the, and if you ain't got there yet, you got to preach to yourself. This is a good word on tonight by the Spirit. If you haven't gotten there yet, You got to preach to yourself. And here's where the honesty comes in. You got to be honest about the fact that I'm not there yet. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because can I tell you, until you acknowledge that, you're not going to get to where God wants you to be. You need to stop fooling. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Those with discernment already know when you get to a place where you truly delight in God, things will change. And he does that by reorienting your desires. A desire is to wish or to long for what I crave, what I want more than anything. I was actually telling my wife not too long ago, man, what I like more than anything, what gives me more joy or peace than anything is knowing that at that time I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. That's what makes me happiest in my life. And I can tell you that and be honest about it. That gives me more joy than anything else, knowing that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do right now. When I know that, I'm good. And the only way I can know that is to stay connected, is to constantly be checking in, is to be listening and trying to sense the unction of the Holy Spirit in the way that he speaks to and guides me. That's the only way. The only way I can do that is to be attentive to his voice. That's the only way. And when I do that and I know that I'm where he wants me to be, man, I'm good. Because I hate being out of the will. I get out of the will, I feel off, I can't tell what I'm supposed to be doing, I get disoriented, I don't know where to move next, I don't know what to do. I don't like that. Mm-mm. Desire, to express a wish, to obtain, to ask for, to request. A longing or a craving, you got to ask for it. You want something from God, you want God to heal you, you got to ask for it. A longing or craving, ask for something that brings satisfaction or enjoyment. You know, that's so funny. Sometimes we recognize there's an area of our life that God needs to deal with, but we don't pray to him about that. We talk to him and ask him to do the other stuff that we want to do because we're okay with it being broken. See, if you're okay with an area being broken, you won't ask God to heal it. You'll focus on the stuff that you care about. You care about the money. God cares about your marriage more than the money. Mm-hmm. You care about the job or the promotion. God cares about your health more. And you living long enough to be able to enjoy the fruit of you having that job. So you'll talk to God all day about giving you the job, but won't talk to him for 10 seconds about your health so you can be better equipped to do what he's called you to do as a result of giving you the job. See, you gotta, one of the ways you know what you really care most about is what you're talking to God most about. Look at your prayer list. Oh, God. What do you talk to God most about? Paying bills or spending more time with him? What do you talk to God most about? Healing a relationship, bringing somebody in your life, not being lonely, not being single anymore? Or do you talk to him most about growing in the word? A new level of anointing and experience his presence more. What do you talk to God most about? Do you talk to him most about what he's created you to be or what you want? Do you ask God on a daily basis, show me more of you and show me more of me? Or do you say, bring me the man. God, please bring me the man. Bring me the woman. Bring me the job. Bring me the child. It's nothing wrong with asking for those things. But look at your priority list. And ask yourself the question, do they match God's? Why would he want to give you a child if you ain't living right? So now the child got to grow up in an ungodly household. You know? Why would God, I think about this all the time. Check this out for all the single people in the house who love their pastor so much. Why in the world would God put you in a relationship with somebody who is a child of his, a daughter of his, a son of his, when he knows you can't keep your pants up? So he knows if he puts you in relationship with them, you will defile them. So why would God give you that? If God loves his son and loves his daughter, why would God give them to you knowing that you are going to defile
Why would he do that? Why? I wouldn't do that to Khalil. Why would God do that? So if you wonder why the individual hasn't come yet, has God dealt with lust in your life yet? You know, you see? Okay. What is that point? Do your priorities match his? Okay, good. And as with all other forms of healing, even with physical healing, you have to desire. You got to desire to be healed. And that means you got to be willing to do what's necessary. And this is the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. This is the woman with the issue of blood. This is what the Bible says. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was there by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. This is another example, by the way, of someone being willing to do what is necessary. We talked about this last time. Won't elaborate on it too much this time, but we'll want to say that Jairus at this time was the equivalent of a political official. This is somebody probably even more influential than like a Kenyatta or Jordan Harris. This is somebody important. This is the mayor. This is somebody of importance because he is a synagogue leader. And the synagogue is central to the life of the Jewish people. Everything they do revolves around their experience and their connection to the synagogue, amen, which is the communal place where they come. The temple is where the priest offers the sacrifices and when they offer the prayers, but the synagogue is where communal learning and activity takes place. It is the heart of the community, and he is the leader in one of these places. And when this leader, who will probably have regalia on, who will probably be dressed in a certain type of way, who is definitively easily recognizable, when he sees Jesus, because he wants what Jesus has, he's willing to do what's necessary. When he approaches Jesus, what does he do? Fall at his feet. What does that demonstrate? Sincerity. I'm serious about it. Do you demonstrate to God that you want what you're asking him for? With your posture, with how you carry yourself. Are you saying to God as you move throughout the day with your lifestyle, God, look at me, I'm ready for a husband. Look at how I handle myself. Look at how I dress myself. Look at how I carry myself. Look at how I look at myself in your eyes. Look at how I relate to you. I'm ready. Does your posture communicate readiness? Does your posture communicate sincerity? If you're a brother, does your posture say, look, I'm ready to be the head of a house. I'm financially prudent enough. I may not be a tax expert, but I know how to handle. I know how to be responsible. Look at me. I'm not just sleeping around. I'm not looking at women just because of their physicality. Look at me. I'm doing my best to stay chaste before you. Look at me. I'm ready to be the head in every area of my life, so I know the word of God. I pray and I worship you. I seek you. I may not run around a church, and I didn't grow up in a church, so I don't know how to dance with the fast feet like they do. But I'm here, and I'm desiring to study your word. Are you saying to God with your posture, I'm serious? See, God is always watching. Yeah. He's always watching. Does your posture communicate sincerity? When you say, I love God, but you lay in the bed and have sex with somebody who you're not married to, if he paused that and freeze you in that moment, is what you're doing communicating that you're serious about God? Can he hit pause on you throughout the day? Whoa, come and get this thing. And freeze frame you whenever he wants. And put your life on the big screen. Hey! Is what he sees going to communicate that you're serious? You know you got health issues. You know you got diabetes. And you steady pulling up into McDonald's. If he freeze frames you in the line.
Can he freeze frame your mind? When you come into the house of God, oh God, on Sunday morning, can he freeze frame the images and the thoughts in your mind? And will they always be striving to be centered on him? Or will he find you daydreaming about something that has nothing to do with God? Daydreaming about a woman's backside. Daydreaming about what you're going to eat. Daydreaming about how good they look. Daydreaming about how you look to other people because you know you fly on this Sunday. Daydreaming about your nails. Daydreaming about your hair. Daydreaming about why you're mad at the person who's trying to worship God across the pew from you because they haven't spoken to you. What if he freeze frames your mind? Can he freeze frame your intentions and look at what you desire, what you want? What do you do on the ride home from worship? Do you meditate and reflect on what God just told you? Or does your mind leave him as soon as you walk out the door? Yeah. So, Jairus' posture says to Jesus, freeze frame me right here. I'm dressed up like a leader. I've got regalia all over me. Everybody knows my name. I'm out here in front of a crowd. But look at my posture before you. You freeze frame me. You see that I want it. I want something. I need you. I want you. I want to get your attention. And so Jairus knows sometimes in order to get God's attention, I got to change my posture. I've got to look different. I've got to do some things different because that demonstrates to God sincerity. That lets God know I'm serious about it. That lets God know I really want it. So when I stop doing what I used to do, it's my way of saying, God, I'm serious about you now. When I change my phone number, it says, God, I'm serious about you now. When I refuse to call him or her back, it says, I'm serious about you now. When I have the conversation that says we can't live together no more, we can't sleep together no more, what it says to God is I'm ready to get serious about you. When I say I'm going to eat different even if I don't like it because my body is the temple of the living God, it says I'm serious. That's why for me, and this is not to be condemnatory, this is just me preaching in earnest as I hear it by the Spirit on tonight and as I feel in my heart as your pastor. That's why it's so important to me that God's people are healthy, because when you continually put things in your body that you know to not be good for you, it's impossible for me to believe that you really view your body as the temple of the living God. I expected you to shout. Don't worry, you did exactly like I... Because if God says my body is the temple, your body is my temple, you want it clean. You want it healthy. Hey! And it rubs me, particularly as a young preacher, young pastor, who didn't grow up in church, when I see pulpits full of people who don't exemplify health. It rubs me. It bothers me. You ain't got to be perfect, but you ought to be striving to be the best you can be for God in every area of your life. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. You know, I preached on all different, I'm really about to get in trouble right now. I mean, I've preached, and you guys have been here, on whatever God tells me to preach on. You know, the only time somebody told me don't preach on that was when I mentioned food. Now, I preach the word of God on all kinds of stuff. I preach about, you know, we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. We shouldn't smoke bud no more. We shouldn't be getting high and drunk anytime. We need to come out of homosexuality. All the stuff that I preach that is quote-unquote risque, I'm telling you, I got hemmed up by those doors by somebody. Don't preach to me about no McDonald's. Because
that's an area where we're not used to having God come in and talk to us. I done gave up everything else for Jesus. You better leave my steak and my hamburger alone. But God wants you to be whole. That's the truth. And that means health in every area. Jairus adjusted his posture. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She's in the same category as the lepers. She too is barred from interacting with society. She too is taking an even greater risk in coming into contact with a rabbi like Jesus. Because he's not just any old person in the society in which they live. He is a teacher of the word of God. A student of the scripture. And so he is to be set apart and clean above all else. And this woman has a desire and she's willing to take action. Even if it means putting herself at risk. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Why is that in bold? Why is that italicized? Because don't skip over it. It indicates how serious she was about getting help. How much money have you invested in your marriage? Not in a house you live in. Not in a car. How much money have you invested in learning more about how to be better married? How much have you invested in books about marriage? In marriage retreats? You've been all over the doggone world. How much? How much? Preach. How much money have you invested in your health? Not medicines that you'll have to continue to take if you don't change your lifestyle. Not medicines that the doctor gives you so you can keep eating the destructive things that you eat now and survive a little while. But how much have you invested in nutrition, in seeing a nutritionist? In joining a gym, in getting a personal trainer, because you got the money to spend on your hair. You always got fly clothes. You drive a nice car. When we take trips, bus is full. Somehow, money appears. Because it's something you want. That bold and that highlight is important because it's an indication of the sincerity of her desire. Jesus could step in because she was really pursuing healing. See, what's interesting is the lepers, the Bible said, got healed as they went. She was looking for a cure for her ailment, and Jesus showed up. I wonder if God is waiting for some of us to stop just talking about it and start pursuing it. Oh, Lord. I wonder if that's when God is going to show up. I wonder if for some of us the miracle comes in process. Oh, God, help me. Because we want the miracle to occur before we even do anything. But the lepers, Jesus said, go show yourself. And as they went, they got healed. The woman with the issue of blood, she was spending all her money. That means she was going from doctor to doctor, expert to expert. She was traveling. She was going to places. She was looking things up. And as she was pursuing healing, Jesus showed up in the middle of it. I wonder if he's waiting for you to stop just talking about it and start being about it. I wonder if Jesus is going to show up if you actually open up your Bible and read for more than 5 minutes. See, no, come on and get this
preaching. I wonder if that's when he's going to show up in your prayer closet when you stay there longer than 5 or 10 minutes. I wonder if he's waiting for you to get to the 30-minute mark, and that's when the Shekinah glory is going to rain down in your household. Can I tell you that as a pastor, magic doesn't happen every time I open up my Bible. Sometimes I've got to sit with it for a while and read for a while. And after I get into it, I feel God's presence and he begins to talk to me. It doesn't always happen as soon as I open it up and flip pages. Sometimes it's not until I'm 10 or 15 minutes in that God begins to whisper to me. Because yes, God can meet you at the beginning. He is the Alpha. Yes, God can meet you in the end. He is the Omega. But he also is the God who walks with you in the valley. He also is the God that will carry you. And sometimes God is not going to show up until you put yourself through the process. I need to tell somebody, start going to look for the house. Lord have mercy. Maybe God is going to show up with the miracle you need in the process. I need to tell somebody, start reading and studying for the class. Maybe God is going to show up in the process. Fill out the applications. Maybe he's going to show up in the process. Why did you bold and highlight the fact that she was broke? Because of how she got broke. Woo. She spent everything going after what she wanted from God. Wow, God. Would you give everything to get what you wanted? And check her out. After she had done all she could do, because she spent all she had. Here's where she is. She's at the end of human capacity. Yeah. Preach. Here's where she is. She's at the end of her effort. Here's where she is. She's at the end of what she can do. But her desire is still there. And she's still willing. She can't use money anymore, but she can use faith. And so, when this broke woman hears about Jesus, she now is even to give even more. She knows I'm about to put my body in harm's way. She knows I'm about to risk my life because I can't be here. There's men all around him. They will punish me for doing what I do, even physically, and she does it anyway. So at great risk to herself, because her desire is to be healed. She came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. I believe that the reason that she came up behind him, because she had to be so careful. Because she knew this had to be premeditated. Because if I just try to walk up to this brother, you've seen important people walking in crowds. You can't just walk up to them. She's planning it. She's moving through it. And I need you to make sure you got this part. This is important. She was trying to be healed. And Jesus did what? Showed up. Bible says she spent all she had. She came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She took a risk, putting her own life at stake in order to be healed. And God is asking us on tonight, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to stop smoking? Are you willing to change your eating habits? Are you willing to go to the gym? Are you willing to take the time that's necessary to get a proper diagnosis? Are you willing to make a diet and exercise a priority in your life? Are you willing to go to physical therapy? Are you willing to see a nutritionist? Are you willing to eliminate foods that you should not be eating? Are you willing to commit to taking your medication on time? Are you willing to see a psychiatrist? Are you willing to go to counseling? Are you willing to seek healthier alternatives to your medicine? What are you willing to do to be healed? This is what's amazing about
many people in the church, we're oftentimes willing to allow God to do so much that we are not willing ourselves to do anything. What are you willing to do to be healed? This woman thought about it, planned it, and was willing to carry it out. And immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized what? That power had gone out of him. His power got released because of her faith and her desire. Her faith and her desire caused her to take action. And when she took the action, the power got released and she got healed. Her faith and her desire caused her to take what? Action. And when she took action, the power came out and she got healed. Her desire came into contact with his power. She wanted something from him to be healed. And you have got to want it. You got to want to be healed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You've got to want to be healed. The Bible says that once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answer, and yet you ask the fact, "Who touched me?" Yeah, because Jesus knows when you really want it. Jesus knows these people who are bumping up against me, they don't really want anything from me. Do you know, I've talked about this before by the Spirit in the sound of the church on Sunday morning. Do you know, I hope you can receive this. Get your faith up higher and open up to spiritual things. Do you know that the sound that a mother makes when she is really crying out to God in the church from her heart, from her spirit, from her soul to him, do you know it sounds different? Do you know, as a pastor, that thing feels different to me? Church can be loud and going crazy, but when somebody genuinely cries out to God, man, it's like, whoa, where was that? Of all the worship in here, where was that? When a brother really shouts from the depths of his heart to God, man, it feels totally different to me as a pastor. Sometimes I don't even need to hear it. I can just see it on them. That what they're doing is not for form. It's not for fashion. It's because they want God. It looks different. It feels different. It sounds different because it is different. Because when you want something from God for real, he responds to the genuineness of your desire. Good God Almighty. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answering, "You ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He's en route to heal Jairus' daughter. People are thronged all around him. We're getting ready to close. But somebody with genuine desire reaches out. They've already gotten healed. But Jesus says, "I want to know them." Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus says, hoo-hoo-hoo. Jesus says, desire like that, faith like that, it's not like I don't have a world to keep spinning, it's not like I'm not on assignment, but I can't let that go. So Jesus, anybody want God to tarry in your life? Anybody want to feel the presence of God at all times? Anybody want God to walk with you continually out throughout the day? I just want you to see it because visually it preaches so strong if you can imagine it.
He's in the crowd. He's walking. She's touched him already. The healing has already occurred, but he doesn't move beyond her. Everybody else who's touching him, he's just making his way through. You want Jesus to settle in your life? You want the presence of God to be felt all around you? You want the anointing and the gifting of God to overshadow you? You want his presence on? Well, your desire. Look. You got to want. And so when he feels and recognizes that, he stops and he look. Where is she? Her desire was God. Her desire was holy. Her desire was sincere. And when her desire met Jesus, Jesus gave her more than what she could have ever even imagined. Is your desire more for God than anything else? Do you want to be healed more than anything else? Delivered more than anything else? Are you willing to show it with your actions? You want to say, I want to be healed, and I'm willing to do what I've got to do to get it. Come on, stand to your feet all over the house on tonight. You've got to want to be better. You got to want to be better. You got to want to be healed. You got to want to be whole. You can't just get settled into the place of complacency. Oftentimes, Christians, I watch it as a pastor. Start out strong. You do something new, strong. Join the church, strong. You come to higher ground, you go to worship on Sundays, and then slowly but surely, you start trickling off. You've got to want it, and you've got to be willing to go get it. This thing, it's not about your relationship with me. Let me tell you something that's going to sound radical. Not people ain't going to like this. This thing is not about your relationship with Redeemer. Heaven and earth, the Bible already told you, is going to pass away. This whole thing is going. This thing is about your relationship with your God. You come here because of your sincerity and your desire to be in relationship with him. You come here as a member of this church because you believe that this is where God has called you to be. You don't come here because of this preacher alone, this pastor alone, the deacons, and it's great that you love them. It's great that you love me. It's great that I love you and we love each other. But we come here because this is where God has assigned us and called us to be. We come here because he has called us to be here. And our desire, more than anything, is him. So if God tells you to leave, you'll go. That's good. Now that's, I thought you were amen. I thought so. Because your desire is not Redeemer than God. Do you see it? Your desire is God. Just like there are times when, particularly as you grow in God, you serve in ministry, you want to leave. But God tells you to stay. So you stay. Why? Because you're here for God. Your love for God outweighs it all. That's your desire. And on tonight, you've got to desire God more than anything. Every head bowed, every eye closed on tonight. I want to pray for you. Father God, we thank you for teaching us how to delight in you. Your Bible teaches us that if we delight ourselves in you, oh God, you will give us the desires of our hearts. Our desire on tonight is to be whole, is to be healed. We want to be healed relationally, healed in our marriages. We want to be healed physically. We want to be healed emotionally. We want to be healed spiritually.
We want, oh God, in every way to be more like you. And so we ask you to come into our lives. God, we pray for the strength to do what's necessary in order that we might see that healing occur. God, if you need us to take a course, to enroll in classes, if you need us to study your word more diligently, if you need us to increase your time, our time in prayer, if you need us to open up your word, learn more about word, if you need us to diet and to exercise, if you need us to lose weight or to gain weight, God, if you need us to get more healthy, build more muscle mass, God, if you need us to stop smoking or stop drinking, God, if you need us to stop fornicating or having sex, God, if you need us to come out of a homosexual lifestyle, God, whatever you need us to do, we ask you to give us the power to do it. God, we recognize sometimes we want it and sometimes we're willing to do what's necessary, but we need your power to get there. We thank you, Lord, that according to your word, it's when we are weak that because of you, we can say we are strong, for your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so tonight, God, we ask you to give us a desire for more of you. Help us to grow in every area of our lives. And for this, Lord God, we'll be careful to give your name glory, honor, and praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray with thanksgiving. Our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and amen. Were you blessed by the word on tonight?